praise the Lord, everybody. Let's praise give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Pastor and Sister Crosslight for allowing us to come and be a part of this church, and I'm so thankful to be here. We love y'all. Y'all fed us so much good food today, I almost didn't get up from my nap. Amen. And whatever bake sale y'all have, I promise you're going to make a lot of money because y'all loaded us down with so many baked goods. I'm going to be eating that all this week. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'll probably eat some on the way home to around Anderton, Texas. That's a long drive, so there's all kinds that's going to go on. But I want you to know that I'm so thankful to be a part of this church and to be a part of Pastor and Sister Across Light's life. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I know this, God's touching right now. We don't want to stop God from moving. Amen. But that's what I'm talking about. God is ready to do something great in this church. Every one of you can become a part of a move of God tonight. But you've got to open up your heart and allow God to touch you.
Thanks.
So as Sister Ava comes and sings, I want you to worship with all your heart and prepare your heart for the word of God. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
So glad to be with y'all again tonight. And I just want to just give glory to God and thank Brother and Sister Crossway for having us again. We feel at home here. I don't want to take too much time, but I thank you so much for our beautiful accommodations. We just enjoy that. And all the baked goods, the little goodie baskets that are in the place where we're staying. But God is good. And we have had a smorgasbord here this evening.
Yes.
And I want y'all to keep on worshiping. And on March 7th, and I think I shared this testimony, 2026, just this last March 7th, that I have had the Holy Ghost for 50 years. Wow, y'all. So when I sing this song, it says, long years ago.
Yes.
I'm talking 50 years is pretty long. And many of you have a few more years than that. But he's been so good to us tonight. Don't stop worshiping tonight. Amen. Let's gird up the loins of our mind. Let's strengthen ourselves in the Lord. He's so good. Long years ago, when I was way on out in sin, I had no hope. Within, but down on my knees in agony, I cried, dear Jesus, and he gladly set me free, and I never shall know. Right now, and at his dear feet, all you gotta do is humbly bow, confess to Jesus, not one but every sin. He'll
something great. You may be seated. I want to thank the sound people that are up there in the sound room and all the blessings they are to me. I was in tanks and I'm half deaf and I've got an ear monitor in. I'm not listening to a ball game. I know some people think that's what I'm doing, but I'm not. I just can't hear what I used to could hear. And I want you to know that tonight is the night that God can make a difference in your life. Man, God has prepared your heart through all these singing and all the worship and all the prayer that was taking place and us uniting together in unity. We are in unity right now. Can we continue that through the Word of God? I want to thank Pastor for what he brought to the Lord, because all he did was really confirm what I'm going to be doing. Amen. And what he said a lot is what I'm going to be talking about tonight. You know, when I was in boot camp, they didn't train us with machine guns. They wanted sharpshooters. And God doesn't want a bunch of people just to spray stuff all around. He wants us to be a sharpshooter. He wants us to be able to reach into the hearts of people and take direct aim at them so that their lives can change. And that's why God gave us the Holy Ghost, just so we can let everybody know that you don't have to live the way you've been living. And I know this world says that, well, you know, it's not important, but look at the situation. Look at the world we're in. Look at the debauchery that's running through our streets and our government and everything else. I'm here to tell you that the church is on the verge of having the greatest revival. I'm tired of hearing about what happened 50 years ago. It's 1980 when I came in. There's a revival right now because people are hungry for God. They're tired of all the lies. They're tired of everything that's going on. They want to feel the presence of God in their life. Amen. When you get them into the presence of God, things change. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about that. Amen. As I prayed this afternoon, I was trying to find what God really wanted me to say to y'all tonight. And I want you to know that the devil wants to rob you of your shout, your victory. See, that's the devil's business right now. He wants to rob you. That's what he does. He's a thief. He's come to kill, to steal, to destroy. He wants to just take all that God can give you and move it out of the way. He wants to rob you of your shout. He don't want you to shout. Amen. He wants you just to sit there like a lump on the log. Amen. And somebody said, well, I don't know why you have to worship. Well, the devil didn't worship either. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, we worship tonight, and we saw the effects of it over here on the right and over here in the back. Amen. If you want to have revival, worship God. If you want to have revival, get on the edge of the seat and wait for something to happen. Don't just sit back. Amen. I want to preach tonight about don't lose your shout. Tell hell I'm not coming. Amen. Man, don't lose your shout. Tell hell I'm not coming. Isaiah 5, 13 and 14. We can all stand for this one reading of the word of the Lord. I want to read this. I'll let you sit because I got several other scriptures. But Isaiah 5, 13 through 14. Notice what the word of the Lord says. Now, we celebrated the resurrection. We talked about the 300 and something prophecies that led us to Jesus Christ. Not to the cross, but to the resurrection. He's risen, and now he's coming back. And if you want to make it when he comes back, you need to tell hell you're not coming. Man, you don't need to lose your shout and sit down and lose that joy and that excitement that God gave you. Amen. Isaiah 5, 13 through 14. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Now notice verse 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged itself. Now, when you see the word therefore, you got to know what it's there for. It says that these people have gone into captivity because they didn't have the knowledge of what God was trying to do in their life. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Can you imagine that's in the Bible? You never read where heaven has to enlarge itself.
Come on.
I want that to sink in. But hell says, the Bible says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend in. Now, I'm here to tell you, Pride is going to take a lot of people to hell. Because if you're so prideful you can't worship God, or you think you're too old to worship God, oh no, you're the example that needs to happen to these young people that are here right now. Mom and Dad, you need to be examples for these young people, and don't you dare let them outshout you. I got news for you tonight. I ran around this church. Now them young boys lapped me a couple times. But they didn't outshout me. They were just faster. I used to be faster. I used to have a whole head of hair. I used to not have to wear these glasses. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, friend, I'm going to worship God. I don't care how old I am. I don't care how hurting I am. Man, you get to my age, 69, I'm going to be 70. Man, you know what? There's always a pain somewhere, you know. But God, and April 9th, Thursday, I'm going to be 46 years old in the Lord. I married an older woman. She's 50, I'm only 46, but I'm going to tell you something. The best thing ever happened to me outside of Jesus Christ. Amen. So you may be seated. So we're talking about hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Now notice Isaiah 14:9. It goes on. It says something different. It says, hell, now notice, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. Not only is hell enlarged itself, hell has to move out of its place because God did not intend for you to go there. God did not intend for your children to go there. God did not intend for your husband to go there. Or your wife to go there. Amen. The Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. And then it says hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. You choose to go that direction. But I'm here to tell you that God's put a roadblock up. Amen. God's letting you know that you don't have to go there. God says, I have resurrected so that you can have a life that resurrects you out of this world and this situation and the problems you face. Somebody shout, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Matthew 16:18 says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You hear what I'm saying? The gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm here to tell you, friend, that gates are a defensive weapon. And when Jesus resurrected, hell had to go on the defensive. Don't you let the devil push you around. Don't let hell move out of its place. Don't let hell enlarge itself. Amen. The Bible said he's on the defensive in the day that we're living in. Amen. Man, he has to lock the gates of hell up. When the church is in revival, when the church is worshiping in unity, when the church loves God with all their heart, he has to lock up Nacogdoches, amen. And every time you pray, you hit the gates of hell. And every time you worship, you hit the gates of hell. And every time you hear the word of God, it hits the word of the gates of hell, amen. And you know what that does? It loosens the hinges up. And they're in darkness. But every time we have church, and we have church, we hit on that old gate of hell, and it gives light to who's back there. And now they want to start getting out. They want to start coming to an altar. They want to start coming to church because they see light in a dark place. With this one scripture comes the ability to tell hell, I'm not coming. Every one of you tonight that has got the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name, maybe you backslid, maybe you're not where you're supposed to be, but God says tonight you can tell hell you're not coming. Amen. And don't you let the world lie to you. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15-16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But notice verse 16. For all that is in the world, you hear what I'm saying, young people? All that is in the world, not some things. You can't play around with a little bit of it. All that is in the world, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but of the world. I'm here to tell you, everything you need is right here in the church. Everything you need for your future is right here in Jesus Christ. Don't let hell lie to you. Don't let hell say you need to go find yourself. I was raised. I was born in 56 and raised in the 60s and 70s. You know what they did? Oh, you got to go find yourself. Man, your dad's not right. Your mom's not right. Go find yourself. And man, for several years, I tried to find myself in drugs, in alcohol,
and all the things of this world. But you know what? I never found out who I was. You know why? Because I'm not made in the image of the world. But on April 9th, 1980, when I walked into the church, I found out who I was. I was a child of God. Amen. I was made in the image of God. You young people, listen to me. You're made in the image of God. You love him with all your heart. You thank him for saving your soul. Come on, mom and dad. Get excited about the things of God. Tell hell you're not coming. Young people, tell hell you're not coming. Amen. Matthew 16:26 says, for what is a man profit? Now notice, if he shall gain the whole, you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing out there worth it, amen. Well, I'm going to get a new car. Go ahead, somebody's going to bump into it. You're going to go over here to Brookshire's and somebody's going to open the door and put a ding in it. Amen. Man, in this world, nothing lasts. You hear what I'm talking about? That's what I'm trying to, 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God's chosen you to be a soldier. Man, when I was in the army, I was a tank commander. And man, we were hard-headed guys, man. We thought we were the best. You know why? We didn't have to walk anywhere. We rode in a tank. But we could reach out and touch somebody a mile away. Pierce 12 inches of steel. Man, we thought we were something. We were a soldier. We didn't entangle ourselves with the other things of this world. Man, we studied. We learned that tank. We learned the rounds that we were shooting and why we were shooting them. And I'm here to tell you that God doesn't want you to entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. He said, if you give me your future, he said, I'll make sure that your future takes place according to the desires of your heart. Amen. Remember Moses. Remember Abraham. When he had to give up Isaac, what did he give up Isaac for? Well, he had to do that because Isaac represented his future, and God wasn't going to let him go any further until he was willing to give God his future. And when he lifted up the knife to plunge it into him, guess what? God said, now you don't have to do that because I know I'm your God. Yeah. Let me tell you something, young people. Give God your future. Don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Mom and dad, that goes for you also. Amen. We need to be an example for these young people. When we walk through the doors of that church, we ought to have a shout. Amen. And we ought to worship God. When we walk through those doors, don't look at who you're going to say hi to. Talk to him first. Amen. I come to feel the presence of God. I come to feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I come to worship him. God, he's the answer. Give God your future. Let go of it right now, mom and dad. Let God lead and guide you. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody rebound. I wish somebody would stand up and tell hell I'm not coming right now. Tell hell I'm not coming. Come on, church. I don't care how old you are. I don't care, man. You need to stand up and tell hell. Declare to them. Tell hell I'm not coming. Amen.
Amen.
I've lived under that, young people. I know both sides of the coin. Now, some of you, you've been raised and you don't know what's on the other side, but I do. And it's not pretty, amen. I stood at a four-story window and almost jumped in Germany when I got hurt real bad. I was going to give up on life, but God got a hold of me, amen. He pulled me out of that window, and I said, God, if you get me out of here, I'll serve you. And God brought me home. And I went to a friend that talked to me and witnessed to me years before, and I saw he had that same old Holy Ghost smile. You know why? Because when he was a teenager, he told hell, I'm not coming. And I saw him 3 years later, and he was still on fire for God. And that's when I said, that's what I need, amen. Come on, church. Maybe people in that notice, they need to know that some young person is telling hell, I'm not coming. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall, not you might, you shall. See, when you tell hell you're not coming, you're not worried about whether people are going to listen to you or not. You just sow the seed.
Yeah. Come on.
Ooh, it got quiet. I bumped the stuff. Let me back up and plow a little deeper. He said, man, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. Man, when I got the Holy Ghost, God started dealing with me. Man, the night I got the Holy Ghost, I was 22 years old, and God called me to preach the night I got the Holy Ghost. Now, some people, they don't believe that, but that's exactly what happened. God said, if you obey me, I'll do a quick work in you. And he did. And he brought people like Pastor Crosswhite in my pathway. And I didn't just say, hi, how you doing? Man, I made sure I influenced his life. I made sure that I became a part of that, amen. I started witnessing right away. I started talking to people. We were in revival with Brother Keith Clark. And you know how intense he is. He got them black eyes, look like gun barrels looking at you. And he was getting ready to leave. He said, nobody got the Holy Ghost Sunday morning. He said, if nobody gets the Holy Ghost tonight, I'm leaving. And man, that's how he was, you know. And so I was already sitting there, and we already started service. And I said, well, I'm not ready for him to leave. I got more people that need to hear his preaching and get convicted and get the Holy Ghost. So I got in my car, and I drove around the block from where our church was. And when I was driving, I saw this young man and this Mexican boy, and they were in the front yard, and the young man was, he was mowing, and the Mexican boy was trying to sell him some drugs. And man, I pulled up, and I just come up in there. I got out in my suit, and I said, praise the Lord. I said, God wants y'all to go to church with me. That young Mexican boy, he took off running. I couldn't have caught him if I started my car back up, amen. But that young boy said, God told you that? I said, yeah, come on to church. He said, can I go change clothes? Because he was in a pair of shorts and no shirt and grass. I said, yeah, go ahead, hurry up, go. And man, he went in there and he came back out. And I took him, we sat about three rows from the back. And Brother Clark was preaching on hell. And man, he was preaching hell, man. He was talking about when you get to hell, there's going to be waves. And one of the torments is going to be that for millions and millions of years, you're going to be going in that wave of fire. And you'll come across somebody you might know, and then you'll never see them again. And you're just going to keep bellowing. You're going to keep moving like that. And so while he was preaching, the young boy looked at me and said, no! I said, well, I didn't say anything. Brother Clark was preaching. He goes, no! Out loud like that. I said, I didn't say anything. Then all of a sudden, that third time, he said, I said no. And man, he got up and he ran out the door. If you know where Bay City is, that church, the door comes out. You go out the back door, take a right, and there's cars lined up there. And when he ran out, I said, great, I got to go beat him now. And so I run out there, and he fell over the hood of that car, and he was speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I brought him back in, and he got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he won his mom, and he won his little brother. And guess what else? He married a girl in the church. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you know what happened? He told hell, I'm not coming. Amen. Somebody ought to stand up and tell hell, they're not coming. Come on, young Baptist young man. Tell hell, you're not coming. Come on, young girl. Tell hell, you're not coming. Somebody shout praise the Lord. That's why the book of Acts chapter 2 is so important to us. Acts 2:36-39, therefore let all the house of Israel know and surely that God has made that same Jesus whom he crucified both Lord and Christ. He showed them the deity and the humanity. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they responded, what shall we do? We think Peter preached Acts 2:38 on the day of Pentecost. No, he preached the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. And when they got convicted and they said, well, we want to know more. He said, now repent and be baptized. Yes, there was a revelation. There was a recognition. There was a response. And then there was repentance. And then there was remission. And then there was receiving. And then he said, save yourselves. There was remaining. And in the last verse, it says there was reproduction. God added to the church daily such as should be saved. When somebody in the church stands up and tells hell, I'm not coming, God said there's going to be some reproduction going on in this church. You can't stop Jesus. Tell hell you're not coming. Romans 8:35-39. Who shall? There's a lot of shalls in the Bible, amen. Shall's affirmative. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You can't separate me. Ezekiel, when he had to prophesy to them stiff-necked people, he said, God, he said, they're so hard. God said, I'm going to make your forehead harder than theirs. And I was hard-headed before I come to church, but I tell you what, after I got the Holy Ghost, he made me more hard-headed than I was in the world. And that's why the world can't influence me. That's why I don't entangle myself with the affairs of this life. You know why? Because I'm hard-headed. I know in whom I believe. You're not going to change me, amen. You're not going to turn me around. I've been in this 46 years, and I'm not stopping now. I'm here to tell you that there is a revelation that God wants to bring to you and wants you to stand up and tell hell, you're not coming, amen. That's what God's trying to show us tonight. And don't let the world separate you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we were killed all the day long. We were accounted as sheep to the slaughter. But notice what he says, nay. In all these things we were more than conquerors. You remember when I talked about more than conquerors last time I was here? When two guys get in a boxing ring and they box for $1 million and one knocks the other one out. He's the conqueror. He gets $1 million. He goes home and tells his wife, I won the fight. And she takes $1 million out of his hand. She's more than the conqueror. You know why she's more than the conqueror? She didn't have to fight the fight, but she received the victory, the benefit of the victory. Amen. I'm here to tell you, when you tell hell you're not coming, you don't have to fight hell. It's been defeated. Amen. Somebody stand up and tell hell, I'm not coming. Hell has been defeated when he resurrected. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's why Paul said, for I'm persuaded in neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor heights nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God. You know why? Because I made up my mind. I told hell I'm not coming. Amen. And you can't separate me from this worship. You can't separate me from the joy. And I look at people in this world and I feel so sorry for them. And I've been in this 46 years and I've never envied them one bit. I never wanted to go back that way. And I got something that money can't buy. Amen. When you rebound, you tell hell you're not coming, nothing can separate you. Job 38:7 says, now notice this, Job 38:7, remember, don't lose your shout. So Job 38:7 is talking about the morning star. Now that's not good. It's talking about the devil. It's talking about the devil right there. It says when the morning stars sang together. Notice past tense. They sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Angels were called the sons of God back then. And that's what it was saying. It was telling you right there when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God passed in shouting for joy. There came a time when they rebelled against God and God kicked them out of heaven. Amen. They used to sing and they used to shout, but they don't anymore. How about you tonight? Has the devil got a hold of you and you don't sing and shout like you used to? Have you lost your shout? Do you feel like you can't get up and run around this church? Do you feel like you can't stand up and lift your hands? Somebody ought to stand up and tell hell, I'm not coming. Don't you lose your shout. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. Don't lose your shout. Somebody shout praise the Lord. They say when they shout it past tense. Don't lose your shout. You tell hell you're not coming. Amen. I'm here to tell you today that God wants to do something tremendous in your life. All you have to do is tell hell you're not coming. When I was teaching at JCM at Bible College, man, we had such a move of God in the students that were going on. Our classrooms were just erupting. We wouldn't even have class. And an old Methodist preacher, he was 46 years old. He comes driving by. He's from Yazoo City. And this old black preacher, man, he come in there. And he walked in and told Sister Avery, said, what's going on here? He said, I feel something I never felt before. What do you mean? He just drove by and felt something. You hear what I'm talking about, church? When you get to the place where we come together in unity and tell hell we're not coming, people will drive by and say, man, something's going on there. I got to go in there. I'm here to tell you that's how it happened. That happened in Bay City many, many times. People just showed up because they felt something.
Come on.
I'll get back to him. I got to tell you about a young boy I sold drugs to and did drugs with. His name was Glenn Bard. And Glenn, man, he woke up one day and Darryl McCoy was preaching at our church. And while I was sitting there on the front row, Harris Draper came up to me and he said, hey, Danny, there's a guy at the back door that says that God brought him here and he knows you. And so I went back there and I said, oh, hey, Glenn, how you doing? He said, Brother Abram said, something's wrong with me. He said, Danny Abram said, something's wrong with me, man. He said, I woke up, I don't even know where this church was, but I came right here to it. God led me to this church. And he said, I know I'm messed up, but I know, but I heard that you were preaching. And then God brought me here for a reason. And I didn't sit him on the back row. I brought him to the front row where we were sitting, amen. I didn't want him to get all the stuff secondhand. I wanted him to get it firsthand. Amen. He come up there and Darryl McCoy began to preach. And all of a sudden he runs to the altar and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he got baptized in Jesus' name. And guess what? He was in a car wreck not long after that and died. But he got to tell hell, I'm not coming, amen. Hell was working on him. Hell was trying to destroy him. And what took 20 years for hell to try to destroy, God saved him in a matter of minutes, amen. And guess what? He told hell, I'm not coming. And when that car wreck took place, he was in glory, amen. I'm here to tell you, friend, you are not guaranteed a tomorrow, but God said right now, you got an opportunity to tell hell you're not coming. So Franklin Cooper, that Baptist preacher, he Methodist preacher, he comes in and we put him in my classroom. And there's like 100 freshmen there. And I'm teaching on the oneness of God, man. I'm teaching about who God is. And he's sitting there and all the Pentecostal kids, they were kind of bored. You know, they kind of already knew everything. Some Bible college kids already think they know everything. And so he went, wow,
come on.
There's only one God. I said, yes, sir. And so I got to preaching on repentance. And then I got to preaching on baptism in Jesus' name. He said, wow, I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. I said, yes, sir. I was talking about the Holy Ghost. He said, I need the Holy Spirit, don't I? I said, yes, sir, you sure do. He said, baptize me right now. We had a horse trough over in the gymnasium. And we went over there and filled it up. And the whole school came out there. And we baptized him in Jesus' name. And he went back and he converted his church to a oneness church. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. You know why? Because that man said, I'm going to tell hell I'm not coming. I'm not going to believe the lie. I know in whom I believe now. Come on, church. God don't care what religion they are. He just wants to show them who he is. Amen. Get him into this church. Worship God in unity. And watch and see God bring people just like that. They'll drive by and say, oh, I feel something.
Yeah, that's
amen.
Right.
Amen. Isn't it amazing that there were kids in that room that didn't feel anything? But here's a guy that did.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on.
When we come together in unity, nothing can stop God's church.
Yes, sir.
And I was on my way to class one day and there was this guy standing at a 7-Eleven, and I was already late, and I was running up there, and I was going to get me some mints, and I saw this guy standing outside 7-Eleven, he's crying, and while he was crying, I went in, and I got my mints, and I run back out, and I'm still going to be a little late, and so as I got in my truck, started, and I ran back out, I saw him, and he was crying, and God said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to be late for school. Where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to talk to him, I guess. And I went over and started talking to him, and he started crying. He said, I'm in law school, I'm about to lose my mind. He said, I'm going to graduate soon, but man, my family has suffered. He said, my wife and I are struggling right now, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, that's what you're going to do. You're going to come to church with me, and God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God is going to show you who he is, and he's going to make a difference in your life. And he came with me that Sunday to Brother Carrico's church in Sugar Land. And guess what happened, friend? God got a hold of him. And God got a hold of him. And he got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And his wife got the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name. And we went to his graduation. He was so excited. You know why? Because he told hell he's not coming. Hell thought he had it until somebody in church walked by and stopped and said, you don't got to go to hell. Tell hell you're not coming. Come on, church. Come on, church. Man, I remember this young girl. She was coming to church. I was teaching her Bible study. Her name is Kelly. And there was a young boy that was he was a rock star. He thought he was. He played guitar. He was in a band. And he looked horrible. He was like, wow, look at me, man. And so he came to protect her. Because he was Assembly of God. And so he said, I'm going to come protect you. I don't know what he's going to tell you. So same thing happened. I got her in there, and we were sitting down, and he was watching her, and he was just had his arms folded and scolding at me. And guess what happened? I started talking about who Jesus was. And he said, wow, I never heard that. I said, yeah. And I started talking about baptism in Jesus' name. He said, man, I got to get baptized in Jesus' name, don't I? Now, we're fixing to start Wednesday night a church at Brother Crafts. And I said, yes, sir, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And he said, man, he said, I said, well, that's not all. You got to get the Holy Ghost. And he said, the Holy Ghost? I talked about the Holy Ghost. And he said, man, he started crying. He started repenting and asking God to forgive him. And asking God to forgive him for doubting me and everything and the Word of God. And so right before church started, we baptized him. The church is out there watching. And we baptized him in Jesus' name. And the guy that came to set me straight, he come out of the water speaking in tongues. We had to literally drag him out and put him on the floor. And he stayed there through most of the service speaking in tongues. Amen. Yes, you know why? Yes. That young man told hell, I'm not coming. Amen. Come on, church. Tell hell you're not coming. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Man, God wants us to understand that. Man, I remember the night my life changed when I told hell I'm not coming. I'm here to tell you that I developed a new appetite. Man, God put something inside of me. I remember many times my meal when I was growing up. We were called white trash because we were oil field. Now oil field makes money, but back then you didn't make money. You were white trash. I remember that they had this little chicken pot pie that was an aluminum container, and they cost 9 cents back then. And that's what we lived off almost all, that my brothers and I lived off of. It took 40 minutes to heat that thing. It took more electricity than it did to heat it up. But that's what we lived off of. And see, spiritually, I wasn't getting nourished at all. But when I came to church and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I began to eat on some things that were good for me, amen, that changed my life and changed my situation. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, which implies that the world is decaying and corrupting and rotting. You understand what it says? It's decaying. Now, you're the salt. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to tell hell you're not coming? Or are you going to sit back and let hell just overwhelm you with it and entangle yourself with all the affairs of this life? Come on, church. I'm not going to be much longer, but you're going to have to understand. Somebody got to stand up and tell hell, I'm not coming, amen. And you're the light of the world. And that's what I love about light. It expels darkness, amen. So is Jesus saying the world is rotting, decaying, corrupting, and dark? And he tells you that what you need to do is to put that salt on the earth. You get a big old steak, and you sprinkle a little salt on it, and that steak changes the flavor of that salt, don't it?
No.
That little bit of salt changes the flavor of that steak. We might not be the biggest group in the world, but we're the salt of the earth.
Right.
And when we're the salt of the earth, we're change agents, amen. Right. We're going to cause, you're not going to stop the corruption in the world, but you as the church can slow it down. In other words, you can start winning people to the Lord and start extracting them out of the world. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm here to tell you that God wants us to understand that. And here it is. Here's what I'm talking about. Revelation 21:4. Musicians, come get ready. Revelation 21:4. Notice the shouts in the Bible. Notice all the shouts in the Bible. Shout. Man, when you repent, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
amen. Oh, man, I'm here to tell you Revelation 21:4. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You want to get to heaven. You know why? Because if you do, there's not going to be any more of that. There shall not be any of those things in your life. And it doesn't have to be here right now on earth. Amen. You need to go ahead and tell hell, I'm not coming, because I got a shall in the Bible that's telling me to turn everything over to Jesus. Revelation 21:7. He that cometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21:25. And the gates of hell shall not prevail all day, neither shall be no night there. Notice what it says. And then here's Revelation 22:4. And there shall and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There's a shall in the Bible for you right now.
Good.
On the day of Pentecost, they mocked him and said, oh, They're drunk. And Peter said, they're not drunk like you suppose. That's what he said.
Yeah.
He said, this is what the prophet, what he did with those Jews, remember that chain of prophecy? He was bringing them along. He said, this is what your prophet Joel talked about.
Yeah.
With stammering lips in another tongue. He said, that's what he's talking about. And then he showed them who Jesus Christ was. And he said, y'all are the ones that crucified the prophet. Boy. And that's when he said, therefore. Remember, you got to know what the therefore is there for. Therefore. That was his message on the day of Pentecost. Not Acts 2:38. You're going to see what I'm talking about. He said, therefore, let all the house of it, not some of you. He said, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, deity and humanity. When they heard this, it says they were pricked in their hearts. And when they were pricked in their hearts, they said, what shall we do? I'm here to tell you, you don't have to fight people in the altar. All you got to do is show up the revelation of who Jesus Christ is.
Hallelujah.
And they'll say, what do I got to do?
Woo! Amen, amen.
Come on, somebody stand up and tell him you're not coming. Come on, church, tell him you're not coming.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
When he said that, they were pricked in their hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
And they said, what shall we do? Then Peter said.
Yes.
See, our problem is, as we try to get them to understand what Peter said before they get the revelation of who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin.
Die in your sin.
We think it's all an experience that we're talking about, but it's a relationship with
oh,
God
there you
that
go.
Leads you to the experience. Amen.
Yeah.
And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They said, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Everybody, not some of you. If you're here tonight and you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you need to get baptized in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
If you're a baptized,
yes.
You need to come back to God.
Oh,
you need to be pricked in your
you
heart,
God.
But you know who it is, and you need Woo! To stand up and tell hell, I'm not
coming.
God. Every time the devil comes at you, you say, devil, I'm not coming.
That's right.
Find five souls and witness to him. He'll leave you alone.
That's right.
Don't worry, he'll come back. But when he comes back, say, five more souls, devil.
Yeah.
And watch and see what God does.
Yes,
is.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, church, but I'm excited about
thank
what God
you, Jesus.
Is.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm here to tell you that if you come to every one of us that are able to walk in this life, you're a visitor, come up here and tell hell you're not coming. Don't you let hell push you around, bump you all over the place like a bumper car, amen? You need to come to this altar and say, God,
yes.
I just want you to know that I love you and I
Hallelujah.
Believe in you. But I want to be more than believe. I want to know
thank
you,
God. Thank
I want to know who you are.
Praise
because
God.
You shall know the truth and the truth Lord. Shall make you free.
Amen.
Praise God.
Are y'all ready to come to this altar and tell hell you're not coming? Are y'all ready to walk up to this altar? Come on, young people. Come on here.
Praise
tell
God.
Hell.
Hallelujah.
Come on, mom and dad. Don't you dare to sit back. Come up here and tell hell you're not coming. Let your children see you shout out to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Come on, young people.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. We're gonna pray till we tear your kingdom down. We're gonna pray till we tear your kingdom down. Coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. We're gonna shout till we tear your kingdom down. We're gonna shout Do we tear your kingdom down? Well, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Shout till we tear your kingdom down. We're gonna shout till we tear your kingdom down. Well, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, the devil don't allow no owl running around here. Devil don't allow no owl running around here. We don't care what the devil don't allow, gonna run their miles anyhow. Devil don't allow, I'll run around here. Oh, the devil don't allow no praising around here. Devil don't allow no praising around here. We don't care what the devil don't allow, gonna praise the Lord anyhow. Devil don't allow praising around here. Devil don't allow no shouting around here. Around here, devil don't allow no soul saving around here. Devil don't allow no soul saving around here. We don't care what the devil don't allow, gonna save a soul anyhow. Devil don't allow no soul saving around here. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little bit here. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. We don't need a whole lot. Use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. We're gonna shout till we tear your kingdom down. We're gonna shout till we tear your kingdom down. Heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard the voice of Jesus say, kingdom's coming down. We're gonna pray till we tear your kingdom down. We're going to pray till we tear your kingdom down. Well, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, the devil don't allow no soul saving round here. Devil don't allow no soul saving round here. We don't care what the devil don't allow. I'm going to save a soul anyhow. Devil don't allow no soul saving round here. Devil don't allow no aisle running round here. Devil don't allow no aisle running round here. We don't care what the devil don't allow. We send them aisles anyhow. Devil don't allow no aisle running round here. Devil don't allow no worship around here. Devil don't allow no worship around here. We don't care what the devil don't allow. Gonna worship the Lord anyhow. Devil don't allow no worship around here. Devil don't allow no praising around here. Devil don't allow no praising around here. We don't care what the devil don't allow. Gonna praise the Lord anyhow. Devil don't allow no praising around here. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. We don't need a whole lot, gotta use what we got. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Oh, thank you, Lord. Coming down. Of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, the glory of the Lord is coming down. It's coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, the glory of the Lord is coming down. It's coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, the glory of the Lord is coming down. Coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray for the Lord to have his way, the glory of the Lord is coming down, yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Woo, yes. Have his way. Oh, I got it, I got it. I got it, I got it. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it. Oh, I got it. 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 There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it. Oh, I got it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I love it. Oh, I love it. You can have it. You can have it. You can have it. You can have it. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it. You can have it. Oh, you can have it. I want it. I want it. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I want it. Oh, I want it.
Hallelujah, glory.
Yes, Lord.
Woo! Hallelujah, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Abram, in his book, amen, he learned a long time ago when he felt the enemy come against him, he'd say, like he said a while ago, that's five, devil. That's five souls I'm going to go talk to about Jesus. Amen. I wonder what would happen if you would develop that concept. That's five. I'm tired of the devil popping me. I'm tired of discouragement. That's five. You watch what God would do. Hallelujah. That's five, devil. Five. Amen. We're going to trust the Lord. Amen. You know what I want? I tell the church this. Amen. I want to baptize your husband in the name of Jesus. I want him out of that water speaking in other tongues. I'm ready for Jeff Benton. Amen. Sister Benton, you're not the only Benton in the church. Wouldn't it be good to have another Benton? Amen. Baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that little hillbilly, he get the Holy Ghost, sis. I'm telling you. Amen. Something's going to happen. Yes. Hallelujah. He'll become a holy roller. Hallelujah. You can tell him that. Y'all tell him that. Amen. We're believing the Lord. Sarah laughed. She liked that. Amen. We're ready for God to fill people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Townley, charge this congregation. Tell us, I mean, this, you've been around a few days. I need you to charge this congregation. Just charge us, challenge us.
Hospital had sepsis in my blood. who came in and told me they're going to die. I put a text together for it to my family and my kids and my siblings. Which, there's over 100 of us now living for God.
Thank the Lord.
My older sister, her husband, and they had two kids at that time. But now there's over 100 of us. There's 15 to 20 preachers. You know Brother James family?
I've heard of
him. Wade family. I've got some of the best preachers in Pentecost.
Yep.
And I mean, God's an awesome God.
Amen.
Well, anyhow, September 24th, they told me to die. Antibiotic was not working. The only antibiotic could work. I wrote that text. And the next day they come in, they said, antibiotic started working, but that went in our woods. That was Friday, they told me. They told me to start working Monday. Told me it was out of the woods. That night I was laying there. You know, my family came in. Family from out of state. I'm going to die. So everybody comes in and see me, you know. And so I was laying there and visiting with God, and it hit me. You almost made it. There was a little bit of regret.
Yeah.
Because I got at it. You know, a little bit of, I think it was Iowa, some Texas, but it was still a little regret. Eight months or so later, we pulled through it, busted six ribs, collarbone, punctured lung, bleeding internally. Mm-hmm. It took almost two liters of blood out of me inside, and had to go through my back. I mean, it looked like I'd been through a meat grinder. I didn't think nothing. I mean, you know, the first one just why? Everything is God tires too far. They're gonna get sick. You know, just life happens. But then, the first real accident, you got a friend that was telling the figure. He said, "You got to ride anything. I'm an old man, and if I get on crazy, I'm I did." But then, 4 months and 8 days after that one, same mule took me again, broke my neck, multiple fractures in my T-section and my spine, broke three ribs. Put me back to that meat grinder, he still had it. If I got pictures, I look terrible. The doctor, the first time, told me, when I went back as a follow-up, I was in there 11 days. She told me, she said, "A man your age and the condition you were in when you came in should have been in the hospital 2 to 3 months and went to rehab before you went home." My doctor, then the second time, you know, I was in there 7 days. I was all bummed up. But God just pushed me together. Now, I was born with a muscle disease. I'm not supposed to be an old man. I'm supposed to die at your, you know, early age. That wasn't supposed to live a healthy life. I've been a whirlwind at home. I mean, there's very few people to hang with me on the job or anything. In the midst of all this, the mule accident, they diagnosed me with, well, I've had blood cancer for 40 years or so, been taking chemo for that medicine, but they diagnosed me with small bone marrow cancer. You say, "Are you getting depressed?" Hey, no way. The God is opening doors.
Praise
I'm going to win so
yes.
Amen. And I could go on in detail why I feel that way, but God is too good to me.
Yes.
If He told me tonight, amen, that muscle disease, that's what's been dead on it, I got blood cancer, been dead for 40 years, I got bone marrow cancer, but if God said, and I'd like to be healed, right? Okay, I mean, I'm not stupid, I'm not going to. But if God gave me a choice, you want me to heal you right now, or you want me to finish what I do? God, let's just finish. I don't, and when it's over, I've got two requests. I want to have souls
Amen.
That I witness to. I want God to be pleased with what I've done. And that's all I want out of it. I just want miracles. I'm looking for miracles. And I could go in and tell you all the reasons why I feel this way. People coming out of the woodwork. You know, I mean, in the medical field, just they're blown away. My oncologist,
She said, you come out of everything like it's nothing. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did.
That's right. Woo!
Let's give the Lord a hand. We're blessed. Sister Tanley, thank you. Thank you for accommodating him here. Amen. And for y'all being friends of Apostolic Lighthouse. We appreciate that. Amen. And Brother Newman, so blessed that you've come. Brother and Sister Malone, what a joy. What a joy. I lost him in the crowd. Sister Malone, God bless you. Amen. We're honored that they came to be here tonight with us in service. They drove 2 hours just about. Amen. We're so blessed that they came. And Brother and Sister Aber, God bless you so much for being with us. Amen. Sister Thomas, amen. God bless you. We're so blessed that you came tonight as well. Amen. And church, we got more to go to heaven for, don't we? Yes. Praise God. We love you. Remember Tuesday night service. Amen. Hey, help me bring somebody to the house of the Lord. Yes. Amen. And we'll tell you, I believe if you don't share the truth, you'll go to hell.
Come on.
Salt's no good in the shaker. It's got to get out of the shaker. You better share your Jesus. Light under the bushel was something that Jesus taught against. Amen. Let your light so shine. Amen. Reach out this week. Text somebody. Call somebody. Email somebody. Talk to somebody this week about Jesus. God bless you. Let's go to heaven again. You're dismissed. God bless.